Hi, this is Sheila with episode 12 of the Communicate Influence podcast. My guest today is James Cridland, who lots of podcasters will know. James is a podcast industry thought leader and a podcast and radio strategist. He possesses a phenomenal amount of information about the industry, both from a technical and trend standpoint. He also produces the daily podcast briefing, podnews.net. That's why he's the perfect guest to talk about podcast trends in 2020. This episode is a segment taken from a longer conversation I had with James recently. And the rest of the conversation will follow next week.
What kind of things do you see emerging in terms of trends or actual events or features happening next year? What would you say the podcast landscape looks like?
Well, I mean, I think what we're seeing is podcasting being listened to on more platforms than ever before, through more apps than ever before as well. I think if you were to go back 5 years, podcasting would really be Apple Podcasts, and that would be it. Now, Spotify is more popular than Apple Podcasts in many countries, almost all of mainland Europe. And so that's exciting, because that actually means that there's beginning to be some competition here. There's beginning to be competition in terms of different ways of listening to podcasts, and that should hopefully mean that Apple raise their game a little bit. So we're certainly seeing that. I think we're also seeing that, yes, the podcast industry is continuing to grow. That means that there's more money being put into both the technology side, but also the content production side too. So we're hearing better podcasts with, you know, bigger names and all that kind of stuff. And the analytics are probably one of the most important things. So far, if you want to spend money in terms of advertising on podcasts, you have, you know, not that much information that you can actually go with. But we've seen over the last couple of years a lot of work in terms of making sure that we have the right numbers, making sure that we're counting the same things, depending on whether you're with Libsyn or with Blueberry or with Captivate or with any other podcast app. You can actually believe the numbers that you are actually getting out of those services through the IAB's standards. That's really helpful. But we're also beginning to see other analytics in terms of people being able to actually see how long people are listening to podcasts, where they're skipping, you know, all of that information as well, which is really helpful in terms of content, but also really helpful in terms of advertising too.
What about the issue, James? I hear a lot from listeners on Reddit and other platforms as well, this dislike of advertising in podcasts. So, you know, you get the intro, and then it's usually the host who reads some ads, some of which can go on for quite some time, like 6 to 10 minutes or so. Do you see that changing? Do you see listeners skipping through them? Will listeners switch to podcasts that don't have that kind of advertising? What are your thoughts there?
I mean, I think what's lovely is that we have an ecosystem where there is so much choice that if you start annoying your audience with too many advertisers or with other things, then people will go and find something else. So to a degree, it's going to be self-regulating in terms of, if you do fill your podcast with advertising, well, people won't actually listen. So that's a good start. But I think also, you know, the way that people make money out of podcasting, or at least cover podcasting's costs, can be advertising. It can be other things as well. It can be Patreon. It can be live shows. It can be all kinds of different ways. Or indeed, there are lots of people who podcast because it helps their other businesses. So lots of different ways of earning money out of podcasting, advertising is part of that, but I don't think it's the only way that you can earn money. I mean, I think it's interesting when you look at people like Joe Rogan, who is by far and away the most listened to podcast in the world. That podcast starts with 7 minutes of adverts. And then you hear the rest of the show without adverts in it. And I'm slightly concerned that what that's essentially doing is teaching people how to use the skip button on their podcast app to skip past the ads so that they don't have to have a listen to them. And if Joe Rogan is doing a good job of teaching people how the skip button works, then lots of other people will, you know, lots of other podcasts will be using the skip button as well. And I'm not entirely sure that that's a good thing for the advertisers who've paid quite a lot of money, one would assume, to be inside those particular podcasts.
I mean, that skipping is something that can't be measured, I would imagine.
The skipping is something that can't, it can and it can't be. To some degree, it is being measured by both Apple and by Spotify. There isn't that much of it, it has to be said. And certainly some of the surveys that I've seen as well seem to show that actually the amount of skipping isn't particularly high. Clearly it is something. At the end of the day, if you're advertising in something or on something, then you want to make sure that that advert actually works for the client. And if that advert isn't going to work for the client, they won't come back again. So it's worthwhile for us as podcasters to understand that if we make people deliberately avoid advertising, then that's going to harm those podcasters, those creators that want to earn their money out of that way. So we should just be a little bit careful in terms of what we end up doing there.
Is sponsorship a better alternative?
I mean, it depends what you want as an advertiser. If you are my dim and distant days, I used to write radio commercials. So, I'm very aware of the different types of advertising that there is. But if you're an insurance company, for example, then you always want to be there. You always want people to remember your name so that when it comes to renewing, they recognize your name and they don't recognize other people's names. And so they will at least ask you for a quote. So in that particular case, for advertising insurance, probably sponsorship is the right approach, because that's a cheap way of staying there in front of people's eyes, in front of people's ears for a long, long time. And it's probably no coincidence that Geico, which is a big US insurer, is one of the top podcast advertisers. To make sure that they're actually there. It works for some advertisers. It doesn't necessarily work for others, where the aim is to get people to go out and buy stuff. Sponsorship works less well, for that, depending on what the actual service is. So, sponsorship is another way of earning money, as are, Patreon, as are, frankly, if you're doing a podcast which is about your particular business, then just making people feel warmer and more comfortable about what your business is a good thing as well. So, that's always worthwhile, bearing in mind too.
So as you say, it depends on the needs of the clients, really, in terms of what kind of method you choose.
Yeah, absolutely. And, there's no one answer, to any of this. It always comes down to what's the right thing for that particular client. What are they trying to actually get? What are they trying to actually achieve, and so on.
Yeah. And we touched on this earlier in our conversation, the growth of podcasting and brands getting into podcasting with new shows being launched, every day, really, in terms of raising brand awareness and using it to drive business. And sometimes for some smaller podcasters or independents, they worry that they'll be overshadowed and you know, in the search for new shows, listeners won't find them. Do you think that that will actually happen at some point? Or do you think that, you know, if the apps display all the podcasts and the podcaster does the right thing with the meta tags, etc., they'll still be found?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, look, there are 760,000 podcasts out there. Now, 760,000 sounds like an awful lot. But when you consider that podcasting is 15 years old, 760,000 podcasts in that time period isn't actually that much in comparison to, say, books. There are 2.5 million books published every year. You know, nobody turns around and says, oh, it's pointless writing a new book because nobody will find it. So again, it comes down to what the content is. It comes down to how you promote that. And yes, you know, you can rely to a certain degree on what the podcast app will do, and, you know, and hoping that people will find your podcast through the podcast app. But at, you know, on the other side, actually, you know, getting your getting some great content that people will talk about is far more useful than making sure that you're high in a spurious podcast chart, which, by the way, most of the podcast charts in the podcast apps have nothing to do with popularity, have nothing to do with downloads anyway. And so, you know, if you're going to chase that, then, you know, I would probably question that. And you should probably be just making sure that enough people in your target market. So if you're doing a podcast about, I don't know, parenting, then, you know, your job is probably to contact daycare and nurseries and stuff like that to see if you can get in front of the parents who happen to go to those daycares and nurseries, you know, rather than hoping that you'll be, you know, number five in a podcast chart somewhere.
What are the podcast charts measuring?
So podcast charts, which, by the way, only 30%, only a third of people actually use to find new podcasts anyway. So, you know, so they're not particularly effective anyway. What a podcast chart is normally measuring, if you look at, for example, the main Apple podcast charts that everybody gets excited about, what that is measuring is it's nothing to do with downloads. It's nothing to do with the popularity of a podcast over a long period of time. I mean, if it was, then the podcast charts would never change. And we'd always see Joe Rogan at number one, and we'd always see The Daily at number two, and it would be very dull. What they're actually measuring is they're measuring the amount of people who have hit the subscribe button in the last week, waited for the last couple of days. So it's really easy, actually, to get number one in the podcast charts, and that's to make sure that you do an awful lot of promotion of your ideally brand new podcast on one day. And you focus on making sure that everybody subscribes on that one day. So if you're a radio station or a newspaper, that's really easy because you can make sure that everybody who is listening to that radio station or reading that newspaper can, you know, knows about your new podcast at the same time. If you're not, then that's much harder, and you need to work out a strategy for actually making sure that everybody hears about your brand new podcast on that one day that you want them to actually hear about that. And then you're pretty well guaranteed a number one in the podcast charts. What you're probably not guaranteed is for you to remain particularly long in that podcast chart, because that's the whole point of them. They're there to give you new and interesting things to go and have a listen to, instead of the same old all the time.
And just moving on a little bit to another story. Obviously, I get all my podcast news from your newsletter, because I'm pretty sure I read this in your newsletter. It was the new radio station in London that's launching, and it will play only podcasts. So I thought, wow, that is, you know, interesting, because, you know, when you think about the definition of a podcast, it's kind of like a little bit like a radio, but you listen to it when and where you want to. And now we've got a radio station playing podcasts. What do you think of this development, and will other stations emulate it?
Yeah, so I mean, this is a brand new radio station which is launching fairly shortly across London. So 12 million people will be able to tune into it, which is all very exciting. It's not the first, actually. So iHeart owns a radio station in Allentown, Bethlehem, in Pennsylvania, and in Philadelphia, and they run a radio station called the iHeart Podcast Channel, which again just broadcasts podcasts. And in fact, the first radio station was a radio station that called itself KYOU in San Francisco in 2005, and they just broadcast podcasts as well. But I think, some people have been saying, it takes the whole point of podcasting, which is on-demand content. You can listen whenever you like, and a huge range of choice, and gets rid of both of those, opportunities, and sticks it on a radio station. So you can only listen to the one podcast at one time. And I think that's got a certain amount of truth to it. But on the other side, I would say that 9 out of 10 people listen to radio every single week. 9 out of 10 people. It's a tremendously popular medium. That's not the case for podcasting. Podcasting is about 22%. So 1 in 5. So if you can get podcasts in front of more people, and it comes back to what we were saying earlier about why would you listen to a podcast, if you can get more people to listen to podcasts, then that's a good thing. So I'm sort of quite interested in seeing how that radio station does. The radio station unimaginatively is going to be called Podcast Radio. So there's a thing. But it'll be interesting seeing how that does, and also interesting seeing how it works from a podcaster standpoint. Will podcasters earn money out of it? Probably not. Will podcasters have to edit what they do? Well, probably, yes, because, the UK, just like any other country, has strict, broadcast laws of what you can and can't say on the air. So it'll be interesting seeing just the mechanics of how it works, how they manage to approve these podcasts for on air, and what sort of podcasts actually end up working there as well.
Are there any other big or significant trends that you think podcasters and even listeners should pay attention to in 2020? Anything else that you see arising?
I think the analytics trends and the consolidation in the industry is worthwhile looking at. But I also think actually it's also worthwhile reminding ourselves of why podcasting is so big. And it's so big precisely because podcasting isn't just run by one company. It's not YouTube. It's something else. And RSS enables us, which is, obviously, as the technical way that podcasting works, that enables anyone to publish a podcast, whether or not it's a large, broadcaster with 20,000 people who work for them, or one person. You can still get onto the same platforms in the same way. And I think that's something which is a very important part of podcasting, because it enables so many different voices and so many different points of view, and I think it's important that we don't lose that. And so anything that that's the one thing that I would say about Spotify's growth is that do we want Apple to be in charge of podcasting? Well, no. Do we want Spotify to be in charge of podcasting? Well, no. My ideal is that Apple ends up with about a 30% share, Spotify ends up with about a 30% share, and then everybody else, all of the other podcast apps out there, have about a 30% share. That would be really good, because then we would be in a point where there would be some good competition, and we would be able to not have one company who thinks that they actually run it. At the moment, Apple think that they run how podcasting works. Apple only in August changed all of the categories for podcasting, and you'll notice that pretty well everybody else has had to change alongside with them. And that's fine, but actually Apple is only responsible for about 50%, 55% of all podcast plays. So there are a lot of other ways of consuming podcasts, and Apple probably shouldn't be sitting there and assuming that it just runs the entire industry. I think that would be a bad thing. So hopefully what we'll see next year is we'll see more focus on independent podcasters, more focus on the beauty that RSS actually offers us as independent podcasters, hopefully not a race to one large company, whether it's Apple, whether it's Spotify, Luminary, whoever it might be, thinking that they control the industry, because I don't think that's good news for anybody, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. We've seen, you know, what the world's been like with the domination of Facebook, and I know how many businesses feel about digital marketing and Google. So it's not a good thing, and it's probably the reason that why people are really drawn to podcasting is that diversity of voices.
Yeah.